Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Nothing But a Bob Thing. I'm Justin.
Nathan.
Hi.
Yeah.
Here we are, episode one. Hopefully you enjoyed our brief impromptu episode zero. And this is A Walk in the Woods, season one, episode one. It's worth noting, by the way, we watch these on YouTube, and I think that's the official Bob Ross YouTube. So no one's going to get pissed at you if you watch it on there. I think they are all there. And until such time that they're not there, that will be our source, because that's available to everyone. The way we're going to kind of structure the show, there'll be this part, which is the, hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
How are things?
They can't just enjoy the journey with us.
They can enjoy the
journey. They can't just figure it out as it goes. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Sure. every week, Nathan is going to bring us a Bob fact.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about the episode. And we're going to actually, towards the end of the show, we're gonna grade the painting in each show.
Well, it's important to grade. I don't know. This is not the official Bob fact.
Okay.
But I was looking up how many paintings he did over his illustrious career.
Yeah.
Many thousands.
Many thousands?
Many thousands.
Holy.
I do not remember the exact number.
Wow.
But a lot. So there needs to be a scoring system here. They can't. Oh, yeah. We can't just all... We can't pretend every painting is a perfect painting. I mean, they're good.
They're much better than I would ever do. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know that throughout the entire episode, Bob was very encouraging to me,
yeah,
telling me I can do it.
Yes.
I can't do it.
Oh, yeah. It's worth noting that neither of us are artists.
No.
Really?
No. I don't know if I have ever gone into this on any of our podcast excursions. In college, I took drawing classes.
Oh, you did?
And I enjoyed them. And they weren't bad. I won't say I was great. They weren't bad. From there, I went, I should take a painting class with the same teacher. That did not go well. I'm far too literal.
Okay.
For that. So, okay. Like, he would come around and go, well, that sky, you could put purple in the sky to bring out this, blah, blah, blah. And I would go, the sky is blue. So that's the kind of person, I assume, that Bob was trying to reach.
I think so. I think this show
the
was
designed. The ding-dongs like me.
With you in
that
mind.
Go, tree's green, sky blue.
Tree green.
Dirt brown. Brown dirt, tree green.
Sun yellow and two-dimensional, by the way. And for me, I have painted, but I don't know about painting. I've done it just kind of for, you know, like fun and therapeutic purposes, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
We're both musicians and we...
Very
we,
different.
We, well, yeah, we do some writing and that kind of thing. But so we're creative people, but not...
When it comes to visual art, artists.
Yeah.
I can do photography.
Yeah.
Because that is pointing a camera.
Yes.
I can do literal things like that. If it involves artistic interpretation of color, not so great.
This begs the question, why the hell are we doing the show?
And
why are you listening?
Anyway. It makes sense because you don't want a real artist talking about Bob Ross.
That's true. Well, at
that's
some
not
point,
who he was talking to.
I think at some point in this run, we are going to try to do that.
I've reached out.
Already?
Well, not to get into too many details, and I don't want to call out anyone specifically,
all right,
but the Vanderbilt Art Department
We're
is
in Nashville.
Going to get called out right now.
Okay.
I emailed them multiple times.
Yeah.
Just explaining, hey, I am working on a project about Bob Ross and the influence he's had in the art community. And you know what they said?
They didn't respond
they
at
didn't,
all?
They didn't want to talk to me about
oh,
it. I just want one professor to explain what they thought the impact
what their
Bob
thoughts
Ross
were.
And I think they're disrespecting Bob.
All right. Well,
so I disrespect them.
That level of snobbery will not be tolerated.
That's right. That's not what Bob was for.
He was an artist for the people.
He was an artist for the people and for big hair.
Doesn't it? Absolutely. Doesn't it say in his gravestone, like, television artist? Or that's what he liked being called?
I have not gotten to that fact of the day yet, so I do not know.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I am unaware.
Okay.
You know, we have avoided painting for so long because I think all of our lives we've been told that you have to go to school half your life, maybe even have to be blessed by Michelangelo at birth to ever be able to paint a picture. And here we want to show you that that's not true, that you can paint a picture right along with us.
So, Bob fact of the day.
Bob fact of the
day.
We need
like a sound bite.
Oh,
Bob fact of the day.
Bob fact number one. That's it. Just don't say anything for a second.
Okay.
Hi-yah! Got it.
I don't know if I like that.
We can.
This comes from biography.com.
Ooh.
They know things. According to PBS, and this will make sense and make you feel better if you're just listening to this and not planning on painting anything. 90% of the viewers of this show, not one time ever tried to paint with Bob.
I believe that.
I was kind of shocked that 10% did. And it does say fewer than 10%.
Wow.
But it's like I watched it occasionally as a child.
Yeah.
I never thought about doing it. It has a very zen
effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you watch it.
No, and that's something I wanted to bring up. That was your Bob fact?
Yeah.
That's something I wanted to bring up. There's this thing called ASMR,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think you've heard of.
ASMR.
Which is a big thing on YouTube, and that stands for... I wrote this down. Hang on. Wait a minute. I'm living on the legal pad. Autonomous, I think it is. Probably saying that wrong. Sensory meridian response. It's a tingly sensation you get on your skin that can be stimulated with audio.
Yeah.
And apparently Bob was an unknowing pioneer of this field.
Really?
And it's exploded over the internet, especially on YouTube, in the last few years. Autonomous, I think it is.
Autonomous.
I'm sure I'm screwing this up.
Autonomous.
Sensory meridian response.
It's like is it autonomous?
We're
going to go with autonomous.
It's like a tingly sensation you get all over your body. It can be stimulated by audio. And so there's all these people on YouTube now
mm-hmm.
who will like take a paintbrush and just kind of rub the bristles.
Yeah.
Or even like scratch on a mic like this. Like,
interesting. Okay.
And little sounds like that will stimulate this response in people, which kind of is calming and like chills them out. And Bob was an unknowing pioneer of this. Like if you go to the Wikipedia page for ASMR, Bob is on there. He's listed as people watched his show
mm-hmm.
and they started to tingle all over.
I will say I did not tingle, but while we were watching the first episode, I did notice, and I don't have a brush, so I can't show the noise, but
that
like a very...
Yeah. It's the sound of his brush whooshing, on the canvas.
The
yeah.
whooshing on the canvas, because he's a little aggressive with the brush.
Well, at first, because the first layer, and he shows this in the very first episode, the first painting, he's got the magic white, and he's mm-hmm. got this thick brush,
yeah.
and he's magic whiting all over in these big stripes across the... And it does, it yeah. makes... And then when he takes the knife, I really liked it. I was kind of feeling it. I got the tingles
now,
a little with the knife when he's stabbing the canvas a little bit.
Did you get the tingles, though, because you know the tingles are a thing?
No. I just like the sound of... That's like the metal knife hitting the rough mm-hmm. canvas. Like, there's something like... scratchy to that, like
yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of little weird noises in this.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's all part of the experience.
We want people to tingle while they listen to this podcast.
Tingling is advised.
Tingle all over.
A couple quotes from this first episode, A Walk in the Woods.
Yeah.
I said I was writing notes, and I said he's so quotable.
He really is.
He is so quotable. First one, you too can paint almighty pictures. All of our lives, we've been told that you have to go to school half of your life, maybe even have to be blessed by Michelangelo at birth to be able to paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not true.
When I heard that, I was imagining all of the parents at the time when this came on. Because most of the people who saw this were like latchkey kids.
Yeah.
Like it was always on in the afternoon.
Right.
When I was growing up.
Me too.
All of the parents who were told by their child, I don't have to go to school to be a painter. do you think there was a group of parents that secretly hated Bob Ross from episode one because of that?
They hate, there's always a group of parents that hate like
everything good.
Yeah. Well, or just people who say, yeah, you don't really have to go to school for that.
That's true.
In fact, you're going to waste their money. They want you to waste their money. This is a sidebar. What else? Oh, there's tons of background noise in this first episode.
Yeah.
Listen closely as you watch this, you guys and gals. As you watch this, someone goes, oh, during a part when he's applying something new to the canvas.
They were really into the canvas.
They were like, oh. Like, they were just, it was mind-blowing.
And it was during the water.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Right.
Very exciting. Because the water, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more in depth, was amazing.
Can you just, like so? Yes. There we go.
This painting starts with the light source, right? He kind of puts the sun, which has green in it, by the way.
That's why I can't paint.
Here's some of the colors, guys. Prussian blue.
Prussian blue.
Titanium white.
Mm-hmm.
Permanent red. You don't fuck around with that one.
Yeah, and if you have temporary red, that's a garbage paint. Throw that away.
Van Dyke brown.
Named after Dick.
Yeah. It's the color of the stool he was always tripping over. sap green. Cad yellow.
Wait, sap green?
Sap.
I missed that one.
No, it's sap. Sap.
Is green, is sap supposed to be green?
No, sap is clear.
That, okay.
I have no idea.
I mean, he didn't name them.
Yeah.
I don't know who's responsible for this, but.
We also learned in this first episode that it's important to have natural bristle brush, not nylon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not using turpentine. We're using odorless paint thinner.
And he was very adamant about that.
Because he spent a long time. Let's be honest. If you spend years in a small room, small studio, with an open can of turpentine. things occur.
Yeah.
Things occur.
Mm-hmm. That's what frizzed up his hair.
I think so.
Not a fact. That is an unfact.
It's a non-Bob fact.
We'll talk about his hair later.
It's a non-Bob. Of course, the technique we're using is called wet on wet. Mm-hmm. We apply thinner paint to thicker paint.
Very important.
So ostensibly, he puts the thickest paint on the bottom and he just builds up these layers. Two very important tools you need, an almighty palette knife.
Mm-hmm.
Almighty palette knife.
Yep.
Very stiff. And an almighty easel to be able to take the abuse you're going to inflict on the canvas.
Which I feel like that's putting a lot of pressure on your palette knife and easel.
Yeah.
Almighty?
It's almighty. It can do it all.
It has to be a godlike easel. he punishes the canvas.
Oh, he punishes it.
Yeah, I mean, not just with the knife, but the brush. Like, that might kill a man, the way he was brushing that paint on there.
Can you imagine if he ever walked, was a sleepwalker, and he just would get his tools out?
Mm-hmm.
Probably no paint, because his eyes are closed. He can't tell what he's grabbing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the knife, and he's standing there, and he's just sort of thrusting in the air to make trees. And some unfortunate soul just gets a face full of almighty palette.
It gets
knife.
Real stabby.
Real stabby, real fast.
Real stabby.
Real stabby, real fast. A couple more quotes for you. These little son of a guns hide in your brush, and you just have to push them out. This is your world, your creation. Thin paint will stick to thick paint. We covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a mud mixer, Nathan.
That's a very important. So if you don't use thin enough or thick enough.
I think it's how you have to start with a thick layer at the bottom.
If you don't have the thick layer and you use thinner layers, you're going to be a mud mixer.
You're going to be a mud mixer.
You don't want to be that mud mixer.
It means all your paint's going to kind of wibble wobble together.
I'm thinking about adopting that in my everyday life.
Your vernacular.
Yeah. Just telling people not to be a mud mixer. It would be a nicer thing than what I normally say, like when I'm stuck in traffic or something.
Being a fucking shit.
Mud mixer!
In the time, this is not an exact quote, but in the time you take worrying about designing a painting, you could have completed a painting. And here we start to see his philosophy come to. It's very improvisational. These paintings, these nature paintings, are like jazz in a way.
They really are.
He has all his skill built up, and then like a Charlie Parker or a Thelonious Monk or an Esperanza Spalding, if you will,
okay,
he just lets it out onto the canvas.
You had all to throw a Spalding out there,
well,
didn't you?
Someone modern that people might know.
I did want to bring this up regarding that.
Yeah.
So his big thing throughout the entire episode, and I'm just going to continue to find this humorous throughout the entire series.
Sure.
I know I am.
Sure.
He starts out saying, to find what is in your heart.
That's right.
And use your imagination and paint it. But the entire plot of the show, the entire point of the show is Bob Ross makes a painting and shows you how to paint said painting, and you paint that painting.
I see your point.
So you start with a vision in your heart, but really you start with a vision in Bob's heart.
Yes. And then you attempt to sort of do what he's doing.
Yeah. Like everyone, I guess everyone should be striving for Bob's heart is the lesson.
Yeah. That seems right.
Because the painting in my heart would not be a beautiful walk through the woods with a lovely pond, as this turned out to be.
Right.
It would be weirder. We'll go with weirder.
I'm pretty sure mine would be just sort of an obsidian cube of some kind. It's like a compressed version of that thing that comes down in the middle of 2001 A Space Odyssey that the monkeys freak out about. It's sort of like that. It's a bit of a monolith.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone's cracking an egg over it.
Mine would not be fit for a PBS fundraising drive. We'll say that.
What is in your heart, sir?
Not a lovely walk through the woods. Oh. Although I love a walk through the woods.
It's nice.
My home is in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I spend a lot of time walking around in the woods and talking to trees and squirrels and little rabbits and stuff. And I look at a lot of nature. And if painting teaches you nothing else, it'll teach you to look at nature with different eyes. It'll teach you to see things that have been there all your life and you've never noticed. And if it does nothing else but make you enjoy nature, it's worthwhile. So look around. Look at what we have. Beauty is everywhere. You only have to look to see it.
Well, he talks a lot about living in Fairbanks, I think it was, Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
And spent a lot of time on walks in the woods,
mm-hmm.
where I believe he said he had a lot of conversations
with trees.
Trees?
Yeah, with trees.
And animals?
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature?
And he also said, when talking about that in your world, you can do anything your heart desires.
That is true.
Which lends to the thought I've had that Alaska is just kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's up there. He can do anything his heart desires. He can talk to trees. He can talk to animals. Other people are up there, like, you know, just murdering people and stuff. You know, whatever. That's what their heart desired.
And then talking to trees.
His heart desires nicer things than those people.
For the murderers, they're like, what'd you think about that tree?
Yeah.
You like that?
You can't say anything, tree.
They were looking at you wrong.
I want to go to Alaska in my lifetime, specifically for the reasons he said, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not to talk to trees. I'm not going to talk to the tree. I feel like you have to have a special level of kindness.
Absolutely.
In your life to go, I'm going to talk to a tree.
Yeah, no, you do.
And I do not.
No, you don't. He is a kind soul.
Yeah.
He's a true spirit.
And we are garbage dump
people. Oh, yeah, absolutely we are. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be up in Alaska going, look at that tree. That's a weird one. That tree looks stupid.
You're asymmetrical. What's up with that?
Not a perfect tree. That's a six.
Nathan, it's in you. You just put it on the canvas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beauty is everywhere. You only have to look to see it.
Yeah.
Now that, I think, I had an experience just earlier this week, mowing the grass on Monday.
Yeah.
Mowing the grass. It's springtime here in Nashville, and all the things are blooming. My dogwood tree is blooming. Very happy to have a dogwood tree. There's a hackberry tree also starting to like bud out. And I was just detail looking at all these little blooms. And it really is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I remember, now as an adult, my cold, dead heart does not appreciate this anymore. But as a child, I remember even like dandelions.
Dandelions are nice.
They were really cool. Now I see them and I'm like, oh, I'm going to mow the crap out of those things.
I learned what hyacinth was. These little bells, these little purple, dark blue kind of little bells. Those are called grape hyacinth.
Interesting.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. Is Bob going to paint that at any point in time?
I really hope so. I'm actually really looking forward to episode two, but we're not there yet.
No.
We have a painting to rate.
Yeah. Are we all ready to the rating of the painting?
We might be.
The ranting of the painting?
The ranting of the painting. We're getting there.
Well, I have a few things I want to talk about.
Yeah, please,
first.
Please.
Number one, anyone watching this, please go to roughly 23 minutes and 45 seconds in there.
Oh, yes.
And prepare to pause the video.
And look closely.
Bob has what appears to be a pinky talon.
Yeah. He's got a real serious...
It's got to be like a full inch.
It's true.
Pinky nail.
It's true.
Which I can't imagine with it being Bob Ross and his attitude that it's for nefarious late 70s, early 80s purposes.
This is not a Coke nail.
No, I mean, if anything... He's like snorting sedatives off of it.
I'm sure it has a legitimate painting application.
It probably does.
We can ask this to whatever professor we find.
Yeah.
Like, do all you guys have a long pinky nail on your palette knife hand?
Now I'm going to be just every time I go to like an art crawl in town, peer at the fingers of the painters.
Maybe he played classical guitar with just one finger.
I wondered that. But yeah, he's only got the one. That's not going to be great.
No, in that scene, he's taking the palette knife and turning it around. I think he's making the last tree, maybe.
Yeah.
And you see it. His pinky is out to the side like he's drinking tea. And you just, there it is. It's like contrasted against the canvas. And you're like, my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another feature, the kind of, we'll get in deeper to the fashion of the man, but the jeans.
They're very intricate jeans.
Very intricate. Designed.
He has a fancy butt.
He's got a fancy butt going on.
He has a real fancy butt.
He does. It's true.
The best way I can describe the jeans is, you know, like when you go to a store and there's the clearance section and there are the jeans that you're like, oh, I'm not cool enough to wear those jeans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they're like skin tight versions of those.
They are.
They're like skinny
True Religions or something.
Yeah, skinny True Religion jeans.
Yeah, with like a lot of embroidery on the back pockets and stuff.
I'm a little jealous of his pants.
Yeah,
I can't pull those pants off.
No,
but Bob can pull off any pants,
and they only seem to be tight like around the ass.
Yeah,
like the legs seem very '70s tubular
jeans.
Yeah,
the 70s jean look was just very snug right in the
package area.
Yeah, right in the groins. But then the legs, they billow
nice and loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like they didn't billow to like a JNCO jean level.
No,
billow.
No. Yeah. Well, I think they billow so you can get away from the man.
Yeah.
Your legs got to be able to run.
Yeah, especially up in Alaska.
That's right.
Every so often, they go up there and try to round up all of those murderers.
And trees.
Yeah. I want to know what this says about me as a person, by the way.
All right.
Okay, so the name of this painting was A Walk in the Woods.
A Walk in the Woods.
Naturally... A Walk in the Woods is going to consist of a few things in the painting. What does it say about me that when he started painting the path in the woods, I went, oh, huh, like it was a surprise, and I didn't expect a path through the woods for a walk in the woods.
You know what? It's so three-dimensional, though. It's really wild.
Yeah.
Because he's been, most of this episode, he's making trees. Mm-hmm. He makes the light source, then the trees.
Which are nice.
But when he takes that knife with the brown, I think the Van Dyke brown, and the titanium white, and they're not mixed together, they're just sort of on the knife at the same time, and he does these, like, carving kind of motions into the canvas, and you're like, holy God, there's rocks all of a sudden. There's ground.
It's one of those moments where you're slightly concerned for the canvas.
Yes!
The way he's doing it.
Yes.
It comes out okay.
It's wild. Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing to witness, and because it's such depth in like one stroke.
Right.
It's so three-dimensional.
Well, and then after that, he paints the pond.
Yes.
Which is decidedly the best part of that painting.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't have thought, by the way, that you could do those downward strokes to get the pond going.
Yeah.
And it's like he does these, it's really thin paint, you can tell at that point. It almost looks like watercolor.
Yeah.
And he does these downward, and then he does sideways, and you're like, and then he takes the white and puts in the little waves and stuff. And
it,
you're
it like, ripples. It looks ripply.
Losing it. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's wild.
My brain doesn't work like that.
Me neither. Me neither.
I would have gone, it's blue.
It's blue.
That's a blue painting.
If you listen really closely as well, you're going to hear birds a couple times. I don't know what that's about. Maybe someone brought their bird to the studio that day. I don't know. You'll also hear a lot of like shit moving around, like jangling around, almost like they're in a big warehouse that was multi-use.
Yeah.
And like only in one corner are they filming the joy of painting. Yeah. Like the rest of the place is
It's like a collaboration workspace like we have now, except that didn't exist back then.
It's a
makerspace.
Yeah.
It was just like a noisy place he painted.
Yeah. And then you could rent for like nothing.
You can tell, by the way, what the budget for PBS painting shows was at the time.
Yeah.
And I think they blew it all with that really sweet credit sequence at the end.
Oh, yeah, with the text?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was all the money right there. He bought some paints, and then they paid for credits, and that's all he had money for.
That looked like about 12-bit.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It
Which
was
at
great.
The time,
was
that's a lot of bits.
That's every bit you could get.
That's as many bits as possible. 16. They're never going to improve on that.
Groundbreaking. It was great. Yeah, legitimately great.
Yeah.
And I think music is going to become a conversation later on, because there's no intro.
No.
You jump directly in to the show.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what you start out with is like the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he says the first 13 weeks. He says over the next 13 weeks.
He didn't know it was going to last
forever. Yeah. Season after season after season.
At what point during the run of the show did Bob Ross go, this is a thing now?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't
know. Like 5 seasons in, was he finally like, oh, huh.
I think that might, yeah.
How about this?
Wowzers. Huh. Still going.
Interesting.
I think I'll let my hair down.
Yeah.
These little son of a guns hide in your brush and you just have to push him out.
Let's see. I felt like I had one more thing I wanted to point out.
Is it Sign That Rascal?
I did have that. 26 minutes into it.
Yeah.
Is when he says, I hope you're ready to paint.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which.
This was all a warm up.
Yeah.
This is all foreplay.
Yeah. And then immediately signs his finished painting.
That's right.
So if there was a person waiting for permission to paint, they missed it.
They did. They did. They did.
They're just like, I'll sign it, I guess.
And he only has this tiny amount of permanent red. I think he uses it one other time on the last tree, I think.
Yeah.
And then, but the most of that red is there so he can sign Ross.
This is not a high red painting.
No.
I'm sure at some point he'll make up for it with some fall foliage.
Oh, I think so. Foliage?
Foliage.
Foliage. Which I really wanted him to sign at Bob. to be honest.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to say Bob.
Bobby.
Whoever signs a painting with just Bob.
That's true. Well, and I mean, you would know.
Yeah, you would.
He's the one person who could do that.
That's the guy.
With a name like Bob that is not a unique name. But you'd see that and go, probably Bob Ross.
Yeah.
That's the only guy who would do that.
Goddamn cultural icon. Let's rate this painting.
Yeah.
How did you feel about A Walk in the Woods?
All right, so category number one.
Oh, yeah, we have a rubric, guys.
Yeah.
And gals.
We're not messing around here.
Guy, gals.
So,
Girl, gals, guys.
For those at home who'd like to rate the paintings with us, there are five categories, 4 points available in each category. Maximum score, in case you're terrible at math, 20.
Oh.
20.
Oh. Thank you for that.
Yes. So, the categories are visual impact,
oh,
interpretation and creativity,
okay,
composition and design,
holy,
craftsmanship, and criteria.
Moly and Jolie.
Now, we'll start with criteria. The question is, was the criteria of the assignment met?
He intended to paint a painting entitled The Walk in the Woods. Mm-hmm. He did that.
Uh-huh. Four.
That's a four out of four.
All right.
Four out of four.
4 points here.
If you're playing along at home, 100% so far.
Now, visual impact, overall, yep, quality. A four, to give you some information here. A four would be the unique organization of art elements, content, and execution create a striking and memorable work. Okay. It has the power to wow the viewer.
You know, for me, it was more about watching it come together,
yeah,
rather than what actually came together.
That's not a solid four.
It's got to be like a two for me.
Let's see. The organization of art elements, content, and execution are addressed in the work. The work holds the viewer's attention. Two.
Yeah, I'd say two.
Two seems accurate.
Two's, yeah, good. Two's good.
All right, so six.
So far.
Yeah. Interpretation and creativity. The design shows unique and creative interpretation of the assignment.
It's, again, it's more about method than, I'm going to give him a three there.
It shows clear understanding and the student's ability to think outside the box. He did think outside the box.
He did.
With his stabbing.
Yeah.
A lot of stabbing.
Oh, yeah.
Very stabby.
Yeah.
I would not stab. Three.
I wouldn't think stabbing was an opportunity.
No. Composition and design. He effectively utilizes knowledge of the elements and principles of design.
I give him a four here.
That's a four.
Yeah.
That is a solid
he's
four.
A technical, he's very technically good.
Craftsmanship.
Okay.
It demonstrates a mastery of skills and a clear understanding and application of specific medium.
I think that's a four as well.
I would agree.
So we got four, 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 two, and three.
Yeah.
So that makes nine. Uh-oh.
It's not a bad score.
17?
Yeah. 17 out of
17.
20. Not bad.
Not bad. That's pretty good right off the bat. That's, yeah, painting number one.
I mean, he doesn't even know what he's doing yet.
No, no. I mean, that's not the first painting he's ever done.
No, that's the first time. It turns out Bob Ross had never touched paint before this episode.
He was a Stradivarius of paint.
Bob fact.
That doesn't make sense. He was the Mozart of paint.
Yeah. In case you were wondering, that gives him a solid B.
Okay.
On the painting.
We got a B.
An 85%.
That's, you know, if I had to look at it that way, I'd say that's a C to B painting.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
We're generous.
Yeah.
But 17, not bad.
Not bad. Right out of the gate. He does note in the episode that he'd been painting in a quote-unquote traditional way for a long time, and it was a man named Bill Alexander, who I think we'll talk about
many times on the show.
Many times. There was some conflict there, guys. But right off the bat, Bob gives him credit as teaching him this technique, this wet-on-wet technique. So,
mm-hmm,
yeah. It was revelatory for Bob.
Yeah. And, well, we may have to devote a whole episode to this.
Actually, that we should.
Because,
that's a good idea.
There's a lot to unpack on that one.
We could get deep and granular with that, yeah.
We'll just talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But
get there.
So 17 out of 20 was a good painting.
Absolutely.
Water blows my mind.
The water was great. The water and the rocks.
Yeah.
So far, that's my thing.
Wet on wet.
Wet on wet. A great sign off. I have a t-shirt. I have a Bob t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, the other day in my life, I was wearing the Bob t-shirt at work. and a child came up to me out of nowhere and showed me her Bob socks. So Bob is very much in the zeitgeist right now. Very much in the zeitgeist. Which is fair to say one reason that we thought of doing this. It was there. The next episode I'm really excited about. The next episode we get not just a walk in the woods. We get Mount McKinley in the next episode.
I feel like that's... Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know because I don't know what goes into it, but I feel like that's ambitious.
I've already watched it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. So, guys, homework for next time. Watch episode one if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Watch episode two. If you haven't got enough of us in this time we've spent together today, for the last several years, we have done a whole other podcast called Sushi Jackknife. It's out there anywhere that you listen to podcasts, and you can find it. And it's topicless.
Yeah. There are topics.
We come around. We
immediately stray from the topic to something else.
Yes, we do.
Immediately.
But if you like what you're hearing here, you're going to like what you hear over there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We hope.
There's lots of episodes. Okay. Well, a great sign off, I think,
yeah,
is no mistakes, only happy accidents.
That seems fair.
Does that work for you?
Yeah.
So we say it together?
I mean, do we in unison?
I like that idea.
Okay. Go ahead.
1, 2, 3. No mistakes. Only
happy
accidents.
You
did great.
No mistakes. Happy. That was a happy accident.
Good night, everybody.
Desires.